Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo News suburban editor Bruce Handriach. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Mark.
When a snowstorm buried the Buffalo area with more than a foot of snow the day after Christmas, pedestrians in some spots were forced to walk in the streets, dodging cars, buses, and trucks because sidewalks were clogged with snow. Now, in a column earlier this month, Bruce wrote that municipalities should begin ticketing property owners who fail to clear their sidewalks. One reader responded to him, calling Bruce an idiot. But I'm among your readers, Bruce, who totally agrees with your point of view.
Well, that's good to hear. And actually, that reader wrote again and said he didn't call me an idiot. He said, don't be an idiot, which I thought was a fine point. But my overall issue here is that sidewalks need to be clear because there are people who don't have the option of driving places. They have to walk where they have to go, number one. Number two, the law is in place, and the law is clear. If there is measurable snow on the ground, you have to shovel your sidewalks. It's your responsibility as a property owner. And I just think that it's odd and it's unfortunate that local communities, and it's most of them, don't bother to enforce that law when it really does put people's lives at risk.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is because it's the old there but for the grace of God. I think everybody has been in a position where, oh, I just didn't have time to do the sidewalk, or shoveling my driveway was such a hassle, I just didn't get to it. And I think the towns are trying to be sympathetic to that idea, which is why most of them give out warnings and just say, if they bother to say anything at all, please shovel your drive or your sidewalk or there's going to be a problem. The issue with that, though, is that, as I said in the column, if everybody knows that a law is not going to be enforced, there's going to be a pretty large segment of the population that doesn't bother following the law, and we see the results of that every winter.
And you point out that police have no problem ticketing cars who violate no parking rules on snowless 50-degree nights. Yeah. Which really doesn't make sense when there are cases each winter of pedestrians dying.
Yeah, people accused me of whining about getting a ticket. And as I said in the column, I really have no problem with the fact that we got a ticket because our car was left in the street overnight. That's the law. I understand it. I disagree with the way that law is enforced. My point in bringing that up is leaving a car in the street on a street like mine that doesn't get a lot of traffic does not pose a safety hazard to anybody. It makes plowing the street more difficult for the municipal snow plow, and I can understand that they want to avoid that. But it's a simple question. What creates more of a safety hazard? People being forced to walk in streets like Delaware Avenue, Niagara Falls Boulevard, Transit Road, or people leaving a car in the street overnight so the plow has to go around it? I just think it's foolish, and I think that the towns and all the communities need to figure out a way to make the sidewalk safer for people.
Do you think your column will result in some of that happening, or are they ignoring it?
Well, I hope it does. And I understand from some of my colleagues at the paper that there is talk about doing something about that. Given the reaction that I saw from emailers and people who wanted to talk to me about it, I think that the community is not exactly up in arms about this idea the way I am. But I just want to share one anecdote that someone told me. A woman wrote to me and said that she was looking out her window on that day that you referenced when all the snow came, and she saw a person walking down the street who appeared to be lost and confused. She went outside to ask if she could help this person and saw that this person was blind. And because she couldn't walk on the sidewalk, she couldn't figure out where she was, and she was apparently quite a ways away from where she meant to be. Thankfully, this Good Samaritan found her and helped her out. But that, to me, is all I need to know. That's one example. There are able-bodied people who are walking in the streets because they don't have the money to afford a car. There's all kinds of reasons why this is happening. And I hope that our local elected officials take this more seriously than they have to this point.
Let's move on to teacher evaluations. The Hamburg School District will miss out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in aid because administrators and teachers couldn't agree on an evaluation process. Tell us what happened here.
Well, I think it's just a matter of what we see often in management labor relations issues, that two sides couldn't come to an agreement on the best way to put this evaluation plan forward. Everybody was warned. Everybody was told, if we don't have this plan in place and we approve it, the state said by X date, I think it was January 15th, you're not going to get the state aid that you're entitled to. Sometimes things are just a matter of stubbornness between two sides. It's telling that even virtually every other district, including, I believe, Buffalo now, has solved its problem. But it speaks to the level of, I think, dysfunction that's going on in Hamburg right now. There's a lot of issues going on that I know people in Hamburg are very familiar with, but just the tension that exists among board members, involving the administration, involving the employees there. And they apparently are going to pay for it, and unfortunately, Hamburg taxpayers are going to pay for it.
I was reading an article in the Buffalo News the other day about the Hamburg Town Board and one of the members calling for more civility. Is that what you're referencing to, some of the problems in the town board as well?
I wasn't, but that's interesting you bring that up, that it seems like right now there is just a problem in Hamburg, and it is affecting each level of government, from the Hamburg School Board to the Hamburg Town Board. On the town board, it's more a question of the fact that it's kind of standard politics, that people are at odds about different things. But, yeah, it's bad enough in the town that the mayor of Hamburg, who's not involved in town government per se, felt the need to stand up and say, get your act together. This is making us all look bad. Unfortunately, I think what's happening with the teacher evaluations isn't going to make that improve anytime soon.
Let's move on to DePue, where a school administrator was dismissed for stealing funds. And you called on Facebook, you called this a story you had been working on for a while, trying to nail down. So tell us about it.
Yeah, about a year ago, I think it was December of 2011, we started hearing that this principal, Mr. Pachalski, suddenly was no longer at school. And our readers who live in DePue were contacting us saying, can you try to find out? And the reporter who had that story in today's paper, I believe, TJ Pignataro, had been trying to get that story for a long time, filing Freedom of Information requests, trying to talk to people within the school district to find out what had happened. And we just didn't know. Well, it finally came to light in the past couple of days that this teacher was accused of stealing money from
teacher
students,
or principal?
Principal, I'm sorry. Yeah. Principal, Mr. Pachalski, I'm sorry. Yeah. But, you know, basically a person in authority stealing from people who, you know, really shouldn't have been victims in a case like this.
In Amherst, 200 residents turned out at a meeting last week to voice their opposition to a proposed six-story hotel on Main Street at the 290. It's near a residential neighborhood. Could these residents deep-six this project?
It's possible. I mean, you know, a good organized effort against something often has an effect. I don't know if they're going to be successful in stopping this from being built, but they do seem to be speaking with one voice. There's not a lot of support coming out of that neighborhood for this. I guess it's understandable. If you think of Amherst, if you think of Williamsville, which is what this is really on the border with Williamsville, a six-story building does seem pretty large. I mean, just in my mind's eye, I can picture a couple of high-rises down at the eastern end of the village. But a six-story building is unusual. There is another one being built right now. Carl Palladino's company is building a hotel in just outside the village, I believe. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think that their opposition could have an effect, though.
And I can see what they're talking about in regards to the Palladino project, because it is big and it's really changed the character of that corner of Forest and Main Street.
I think if you haven't driven through the village in a while and you see that building, the first thing you say is, whoa, you just don't see structures like that being constructed in Williamsville. It's a very village place, and everything you think about, the buildings tend to be two stories, maybe three stories at the absolute most. And here you have what amounts to almost a high rise compared to what you see in the village.
Again, though, technically not in the village, because it's between, that's my hometown, my area.
Right.
So it's between Snyder and Williamsville. It's a little no man's land. It's officially the town of Amherst, but it still has the character of, you know, the area of Snyder and the area of Williamsville.
Very much, and
sticks out like a sore thumb.
Absolutely. The hamlet of Snyder, I mean, it looks like it's the kissing cousin of Williamsville. Yeah. The buildings look like they could be houses as much as businesses. And, for people who don't know where this is, the Lord Amherst, I think, is the marker that most people recognize. It's right around there.
Elsewhere in Amherst, Trader Joe's is coming to a plaza on Niagara Falls Boulevard. As someone who stocked up at Trader Joe's during a visit to Cleveland last weekend, I can't wait.
I've never been, but it's one of those things that, kind of like IKEA, I've never been to either, but it certainly has a passionate and loyal following. I think a lot of the interest in this is not only from people who have been to Trader Joe's and other communities, but for the rest of us to think that there is going to be something potentially this popular in that plaza on Niagara Falls Boulevard really raises some interesting issues about traffic and parking. I mean, I've said for years, because I live not far from there, I'll do anything to avoid driving on Niagara Falls Boulevard on a Saturday afternoon. I think that just was solidified with the news that Trader Joe's is coming.
I think I'll do my shopping during weekdays.
Good idea.
Bruce, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
Bruce Andreatch is suburban editor of the Buffalo News. I'm Mark Scott, WBFO News.